so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. There's a couple more spaces just on the left here if you can. Our opening hymn, The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, who died and was raised to the glory of God the Father. Grace and mercy and peace be with you all. Just a word for the children. If you get fed up of sitting still, and you know how difficult that can be, there is a table over here with some paper and some felt tip pens. If you wanted to draw some pictures or say any more words, I know some of you have said quite a bit already, but if you want to add to that anything you'd like to put with Meg's coffin in her grave, then please do, don't worry about all the adults, you just come over and help yourself to the paper and the pens, and you just do whatever you want to. We've come here today to remember before God Meg, Margaret, Peggy, a mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. An extraordinary lady indeed, who meant so very much to so very many. And we come to commend her to God, our merciful Redeemer and Judge, to commit her body to be buried, and to comfort one another in our sorrow. And so a prayer. O God, who brought us to birth, and in whose arms we die, in our grief and shock, hold us and comfort us. Embrace us with your love. Give us hope in our confusion and grace to let go into new life through Jesus Christ. Amen. And before we go further in the service, I want to give us an opportunity for us to come to God in penitence, because we know that we fall far short of what God wants us to do. And it may well be, because some of you have come from a distance, that there are things that you would have liked to have said to me and you didn't get the opportunity. Well, now is a moment when in prayer we can offer those thoughts and words to God. And also because in most families there's ups and downs and tensions, it's good to have a moment to bring before God anything we've said to Meg or said to one another in the past that we wish we hadn't. And so this is an opportunity to bring those thoughts to God now. So as children of a loving Heavenly Father, let us ask his forgiveness, for he is gentle and full of compassion. And we just keep a moment's quiet just to focus in our minds what we want to bring to God at this moment. God of mercy, we acknowledge that we are all sinners. We turn from any wrong that we have thought and said and done, and we're mindful of all that we failed to do. For the sake of Jesus who died for us, forgive us all that is past. Help us to live each day in the light of Christ our Lord. Lord of life, you are tender towards your children, and your mercy is over all. Heal any memories of hurt and failure, and give us the wisdom and grace to use aright the time that is left to us here on earth, to turn to Christ and to follow in his steps in the way that leads to everlasting life. Hear our prayers and comfort us, O merciful Father. Renew our trust in your Son, whom you raised from the dead, and strengthen our faith that Meg and all who have died in the love of Christ will share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you now and forever. Amen. Now, there were several people that wanted to share their memories and thoughts of Meg today. So Catherine is going to read a tribute in a moment from daughter Julie and daughter Sharon, who's unable to be with us today because of her illness and not able to leave the house. So Danielle, her daughter, will read the tribute on her behalf. And then I've got three poems that have been written by granddaughters and great-granddaughters. And so we will hear some of the lovely memories that we have of Meg. Thank you, Catherine, if you'd like to lead us off.
Julie's written this, and so I'm just reading it on her behalf. Our Mum. Mum was born in Kent and moved to Wootton when she was about 5. She left school by special licence at 13, so she could earn money and support her parents, who couldn't work due to ill health. She got a job at Preselco, making light bulbs for miners' lamps. When she left to get married, they couldn't find anyone to replace her and had to close the department. It was during this marriage that she became a foster mum and gave a home to 34 children until they could go somewhere permanent. Unfortunately, the marriage failed, and she left with Stephen, Philip, and Paul, and nothing else. After a while, she and Dad got together and bought a caravan to live in. Then I came along, and they decided they would buy a piece of land and build a bungalow. Then came Sharon, and the family was complete. That's how we all came to be in Odle. Mum looked after the older people unofficially for a while before working for the council as a home help. Mum and Dad also ran the afternoon club for a few years. Their door was always open for anyone in need of help, from a cup of tea and a piece of cake to things more serious. After Dad died and she retired from the home help service, she took in stray or needy animals. You never knew what animals would be there when you turned up for a visit, but usually they had a limb missing or something else just as traumatic had happened to them. Mum loved them regardless, and they loved her. 11 years ago, she decided to sell the bungalow and move to what she called My Little House in Harrow, where once again the door was always open for tea and a gossip. She continued to support Odle Church until her health slowed her down, but it was often on her mind, especially on Sunday mornings. Her faith gave her so much pleasure and peace of mind. Mum had great sadness in her life, losing Bernadette, Stephen, and Dad all far too soon, but she also had great joy. Her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, her animals and all her friends, even if we did make her despair at times. The other thing Mum had was a fantastic sense of humour. You may be wondering why she chose a wicker coffin. Well, when she was born, she wasn't expected to live and was put in a wicker laundry basket by the fire to slip away. 81 years later, she said that she started in a basket and so she'd finish in one. To all of you, she was Nan, Great Nan, Meg, Peggy, Margaret, or something else. But I am so proud to be able to say she was our mum.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Sharon's daughter, Danielle. Now I have a few words I'd like to read from my mum. First of all, I'd like to say how sorry I am for not being here today with you all, to say goodbye to a very special mum who I loved so very, very much. But as I'm sure most of you know, I'm under a specialist at hospital, and I've been strongly advised not to travel under any circumstances. So that, along with the promise that mum may be made to not risk permanent damage, either coming to see her or attending her funeral, which, believe me, has been the hardest promise I've ever had to keep. The only way I did manage to keep this promise was by knowing that Mum was being taken care of so very well by her friends and family, which I send many thanks to you all. There was, however, someone else who went above and beyond to care for Mum, and that was Anita. I can't say how grateful I am to her. She never failed to phone with daily updates on Mum, even holding the phone for Mum so we could say hello. Anita's care and determination for Mum never wavered right to the very end, which I know Mum was very grateful for, as this meant that she could pass away surrounded by her little knickknacks in a setting of her own home, which she loved so very, very much. I will never be able to repay you or say how very grateful and proud I am of you, Anita. Once again, I send my love to you all, and especially to my mum, who I shall miss so very, very much.
I made an acrostic poem for Nanny Meg. Nanny was always there for us, although you still are. And we love you lots and lots like jelly tarts. Nanny make us laugh a lot until we might pop. You let us have some yummy cakes that Auntie Sharon made, which are yummy. Makes a lovely name too. Everybody loves you, Meg. Going on Holiday Was Great Too by Georgia and Maisie.
This one's from Isabella. Nanny Meg was an awesome and a generous nanny, but we all know that she will be happy way up there with her mum beside her. And not all nannies were as kind and generous as her, but yet we all have memories of her. And memories are the best thing about someone when they have gone. Every day we all smile and think of her. Going to her house every now and then creates new memories for us all. We will all miss you, Nanny Meg. Lots of love, big hugs and kisses, love from Isabella. And there's some lovely pictures here of Isabella and others with Meg, which maybe you could look at afterwards. Such an extraordinary person. We've got a lot to say. This one was written by granddaughter Joanna. My visits to Nan Meg. Come in, sit down, find a space if you can. There wasn't much room, but we all had a plan. Lisa sat on the sofa and I'd sit beside her. Kelly brought the chair in and settled there we were. Kettle had boiled, the mugs were out and the sweeteners were on the side. A beautiful tin on the draining board with treats galore inside. And there were Auntie Sharon's cakes or homemade sausage pie. And one time a courgette cake Auntie Julie tried to make. Glasses on, clip-on earrings and bunches in her hair, sometimes with a blanket, all snuggled in her chair. Coordinating jewellery and knitting on the go, waiting for our updates to keep her in the know. Shelves all filled with brasses, not a space in sight. Meerkats, flowers, bubble lamps, all tucked in, snug and tight. Frames of all the family were all sat in their spaces, surrounded by her loved ones, all with smiling faces. She'd fill us in with everybody's news, one by one. Sometimes it was serious, and sometimes it was fun. We laughed together and cried together, and some of us fell asleep, but every visit made memories for all of us to keep. And this one written by Anita. Nan, can you help me please? I have a poem that I'm trying to write, but I don't know how to start. It's about a special lady who will forever be in my heart. This lady is amazing. There's nothing she can't do. She even made a cook out of me when no one else could do. She's taught me to be compassionate, to care and to forgive, and to even hold my tongue when I feel my patience begin to thin. She's taught me so many lessons that have shaped me into who I am. So I have to get this poem right so she will understand. I love this lady so very much. No one else will ever come close. Her memory will stay with me down to the tiniest single dose. And because she's done so much for me, I just can't find the words to say how much I will always love her and remember her each and every day. So I hope you can help me, Nan, to put these feelings into words. Because at the minute, the sadness of losing you is stopping my feelings from being heard. So I will sit back for a little while and think about what you would say. If you were here with me right now, maybe you would say, "Oh my girl, come back to it another day." And maybe you would be right, because another day I'll be standing by your side. And I will be able to say how very much I love you, how sad I am that you couldn't stay, but more importantly, how I always remembered you, each and every day. I love you, my hero, my best friend, my man. Love always, Anita. And now if I could ask Warren, Warren here to come and do the reading for us. Thank you.
Right, so it's from John 14, 1 to 5. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. That you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way?
I feel that we're just touching the tip of the iceberg today. when we're trying to put into words all that Meg meant. If we were really to do her full justice, I think we'd be here for a very long time, because there's so much, so many memories. I was very sorry indeed that I was away from home during that final week. But I did see her earlier in the month, when she was still very much with it and very aware. And as always, we talked about many things and many people. And although I could see that Meg was getting weaker, she'd lost none of that sense of humour. And our conversation, as always, was seasoned with laughter. And as always, we prayed together. And I think both of us were probably aware that it might be the last time. Meg reminded me, as Catherine mentioned, how she was born so prematurely and not expected to live, and wrapped in the blanket in the basket by the fire. I asked her how many children she'd officially fostered. She thought it was 38. Excuse me. But we all know that 38 is a meaningless figure, because the number of children that Meg fostered, looked after, and the number of men, women, animals, countless, many, many, many more than that. And she loved to talk about it all. And she could tell a very good tale. But dear Meg couldn't bear to turn away anyone who was in need. She just had that warm, open heart, and she couldn't close her heart to anyone who was in need. And of course, there were the many older people too. Meg would tell me about the many people that she tended and cared for in their final weeks and days. She was no stranger to sickness and death, and yet neither frightened her. Even in her own long battle with a serious heart condition, the crippling arthritis, and then the cancer, she faced all her ailments bravely and with no fuss whatsoever. And she continued to cook for her family and do the laundry for her gentleman until she was actually physically no longer able to do it. Meg wasn't afraid to die because she had a very real faith in God. She was trusting in Jesus' promise that at the end she would be with him. And that promise, of course, is not just for Meg, but for all of us here today. If we will put our trust in Jesus, accept him as our Saviour, welcome him into our lives, that promise is for us too. I just want to say a few words about that last week, which after I got back from being away, Julie filled me in on all that had happened. It was, in every sense of the word, a very emotionally stretching week, but there were some exquisite, tender moments, and I just want to share a couple with you. Meg, singing to herself in the night, Amazing Grace. That wasn't one that was included in her plan for her funeral today. We just felt it was very appropriate to have that. And then on another night, suddenly calling out, "Wow, what a pretty room." And another time, greeting her parents and grandparents and someone to whom she said, "I love you." And Julie thinks that may have been son Stephen. Death is not beautiful. It brings our mortal life to an end. And yet often the parting is graced by beautiful moments like that. Moments when God and the heavenly world come very close to strengthen our wobbling, wavering faith and give us hope. Indeed, those tending Meg in her final hours found it a deeply spiritual experience. Do not let your hearts be troubled, said Jesus. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. Wow, said Meg. What a pretty room. We're going to sing together the second hymn which Meg has chosen, Abide With Me. Would you please stand? Especially remembering daughter Sharon, not able to physically be with us today. Father in heaven, we thank you because you made us in your own image and gave us gifts in body, mind, and spirit. We thank you now for Meg and what she meant to each of us. We thank you for her long and generously lived life, for the blessing she was to so many, and for every good deed done by her. We thank you for every memory of love and joy and laughter, for every sorrow shared with us. We thank you for the rest in Christ she now enjoys, and pray that in due time we also may share in the promise of your glory with her for all eternity. Amen. Most merciful God, whose wisdom is beyond our understanding, surround Meg's family and all her friends with your love. Help us not to be overwhelmed by our loss, but to have confidence in your great and merciful love and strength to meet the days to come. In your mercy, turn the darkness of death into the dawn of new life and the sorrow of parting into the joy of heaven through our Saviour Jesus Christ, who died, rose again, and lives forevermore. And we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now we come to commend Meg to the mercy of God, our Maker and Redeemer. God, our Creator and Redeemer, by your power, Christ conquered death and entered into glory. Confident of his victory and claiming his promises, we entrust Meg to your mercy. In the name of Jesus our Lord, who died and is alive and reigns with you now and forever. In a moment we're going to sing our closing hymn, Amazing Grace, but just to remind you that each of you received a red rose, a little gift from Meg that she wanted to give to you, and she's asked that if you would like to lay these on her coffin when we move up into the churchyard for the committal. That was her wish, and I'm sure you'll be happy to do that for her. The family would also like to invite you to the village hall for some refreshments following the committal at the graveside. And so let's stand now and remember Meg as we sing Amazing Grace. God, give you his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy in this world and the next, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
So I